am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentile. Shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. And I have a very special guest today, and that is Bob Shyrock, senior pastor of Oak Point Church in Novi. Oak Point started in 1997 when a group of 60 people launched out with the dream of seeing the hand of God move in their lives. Now, 15 years later, that group of 60 has turned into over 2,000 men, women, and children. And I don't think that includes the other congregations that Oak Point has planted. Pastor Bob was also the lead pastor of last year's Each Outreach, Everyone a Chance to Hear. He has a passion for the one church coming together, working together in our region to bring the love of God, the love of the Messiah to everyone. Pastor Bob, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thanks, Rabbi Loren. Appreciate you having me on.
And I appreciate you being our guest today. Pastor Bob, just a question. How many other churches has Oak Point had a hand in starting?
Well, we are on our third church plant. We did one about 6 years into our history, and then we did another one about 3 years ago, and then last year opened up a work in Milford, Oak Point, Milford. So, and our home campus is running probably 3,000, 3,500 now. So it's, you know, it's growing. God's blessing these churches, and my goal is just to help reshape the spiritual landscape of Southeast Michigan before I'm finished, and God's letting me be a part of that. So it's very cool.
That is really great, Pastor Bob. Bob, I want to just ask you about your own personal history. Tell us how Jesus made you kosher, in the sense that how did the living God get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, it was really, I grew up in a home that had religion and went to a church every weekend, but I had absolutely no understanding of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was a high school friend, actually, who began to share the message of Christ with me in a very clear way. It was my freshman year at Michigan State that I went on a weekend retreat with him with a group called the Navigators. And it was on that weekend retreat that I opened up my heart. I prayed a simple prayer of salvation, opened up my heart to Jesus the Messiah. And you know what? He planted some living water inside of me that began to change me from the inside out. So it was during my college years that I began my journey with Christ. And when graduated from college, went straight into ministry because of the transforming power of Christ in my own life. I just wanted to see that happen in other people's lives and spend the rest of my life doing that. So that's what I've been doing for the last 35, 36 years.
You also have some extensive theological training. I'm personally curious about your Bible theology background.
Yeah. Well, I did an MDiv and a DMin up at Western Seminary in Portland, Oregon, which is a conservative Baptist seminary. Then went overseas, was teaching in a seminary in the Philippines from 1984 to 89, and then just felt like I wanted to get a PhD in New Testament studies. So ended up going to University of Aberdeen in Scotland and studied under a tremendous New Testament scholar by the name of I. Howard Marshall, and did my PhD in Luke and Acts, the Luke-Acts narrative, and studied spiritual conflict in Luke-Acts, and just the whole idea of how Jesus came to release the captives, Luke 4:18. So did my PhD, came back, and was teaching at William Tyndale College here in Metro Detroit. But God sort of did a U-turn for me and just told me, you know, I don't want you to write about releasing the captives. I don't want you to spend the rest of your career just you know, doing theology and thinking about release for the captives. I want you to get out and release captives. And that's where 1997, the whole dream of Oak Point Church was birthed, just the idea of actually doing the work of ministry that Luke wrote about so much.
That's tremendous, Bob. I'm so glad, you know, God got a hold of you and has used you in so many ways. Let's talk about the prayer walk on Saturday. We'll talk more about each, but I really want to talk about each prayer walk on Saturday. What is it and why is it important, and why should the Faith Talk 1500 audience be involved?
Well, you know, last year, as part of the Everyone a Chance to Hear movement, the 40 days following Easter, we decided to launch it with a prayer walk the week ahead of time. So on Palm Sunday weekend last year, we had our first Detroit prayer walk. We had about 25,000 to 28,000 people show up to pray and walk from Comerica Park all the way down to Spirit of Detroit and back. It was an amazing experience, 3 hours of really beseeching God to be the spirit of our city. And as we came around this year and decided to continue the whole movement, this coalition of working together, we decided we ought to really shoot for making a prayer walk an annual event. And I hope it will. I hope there's some things, you know, that should be traditions. There are some things that should be done on a regular basis. And I think tens of thousands of believers gathering in the heart of their city and very publicly walking and praying, not you know, proclaiming things and not protesting things, but simply visibly uniting together to pray for our city and its leaders, that should become a tradition. So we're doing it this year in the middle of the 40 days, this coming Saturday from 9 till noon. Chuck Gatica has been our key point person in organizing it both years, and he'll be emceeing it again and hopefully bringing some good weather with him. So it's this weekend, and I, you know, we had 28,000 last year. I hope there's 30, 40,000 this year. Just, if nothing else, Rabbi Lauren, I believe the most important thing we can do is pray that God would become the God of our city.
Amen. Well, Pastor Bob, I'm going to be involved, and I'm going to be there wearing my two-word story T-shirt that says kosher, kosher. And also praying with my friend Abdu, who's an Arab brother, a former Muslim. So we're going to have a Messianic Jew and a former Muslim, each who loved the Lord, praying together. So I am really looking forward to it, and I just hope that many of the Faith Talk 1500 audience will join us.
Yeah, and I hope, too, for your listeners, they'll talk to their pastor and, you know, just get the word out real quickly to the congregations. You don't have to be a formal part of the Each movement to be part of this prayer walk. This is just, again, it's a very simple time of coming together for 1 hour at Comerica Park on the main stage. Various pastors and leaders like yourself, like Abdu Murray and others, will be leading in corporate prayers and worship, which is going to be amazing. The worship is going to be incredible. And then we'll actually begin the prayer walk down and back, and we'll be out of there by noon. So it's a valuable 3 hours, and I hope your listeners will come.
Yes, I hope so, too. And for more information, you can go to eachtoday.com. That's the website, eachtoday, that's one word, eachtoday.com. Well, Pastor Bob, tell us more about Each. What is Each?
You know, well, last year, we, you know, we reached out. 540 churches and ministries gathered together into a coalition to try to give everyone a chance to hear in southeastern Michigan, 3.5 million people. And that's what the EACH acronym is for, Everyone a Chance to Hear. We just wanted to pray together, strategize together, dream together, and then reach out with a simple strategy, lots of good deeds and lots of good news. And we did that last year, and a lot of people were involved, a lot of people were wearing their shirts and their buttons with their own testimony, so to speak, their own two-word story of how Jesus changed their lives. And we did a lot of good works, a lot of feeding, a lot of medical clinic, dental clinic, a lot of house rebuilding, a lot of parks that were refurbished, a lot of good deeds. And then at the end of the campaign, I thought it was over, and some pastors got together and basically said, we don't want to go back into our silos and just do our own thing. Let's keep the unity together. Let's build upon it, and let's build some patterns and traditions here. So that's what Each is. It's just the body of Christ coming together in this Metro Detroit area to bring good deeds and good news, and to share what Christ has done in our lives.
each was pretty much, I guess I'll use the term, your brainchild. I love that story about how you were driving from your house to the church and thinking about reaching out to your Jerusalem, so to speak. And would you mind sharing a little bit about that story, how the beginnings of each developed? I think it's a great story.
No, I'd love to. We actually had come from a trip overseas where my wife and I had been seeing in Asia and Africa and India coalitions of churches and ministries coming together to try to saturate urban areas with the message of Christ. And in very short periods of time, like 40 days, 50 days over the summer, we were pretty impressed with these intentional movements that focused on unification of the body, strategizing, praying, and then pulling out all the stops to try to saturate the region with the message. So coming back from that, one day I was driving the 3 miles from my house to my church, and, you know, like I said earlier, we've got about 3,000 people coming to Oak Point, but that's just a drop in the bucket compared to all the houses and all the people I drive by on that 3 mile journey every day. And I just was impressed one day that I was driving by tens of thousands of people who have no clue what we're doing in our building every weekend. And it hit me that we, as a church, weren't doing enough to intentionally try to saturate our region with the good news. So it started just with our church. I drew a circle on the whiteboard in our offices, and I said to my staff, let's do this. Let's reach this circle. I drew a 12-mile circle, and I said, look, there's 250,000 people in this circle. Let's take a year as a church and try to give everyone a chance to hear. We'll mark every house, every address. We'll somehow touch every home with the good news. And one of my staff guys just raised his hand and said, what about the other good churches in the circle? Don't you think they'd want to work with us to try to do it? And don't you think if this was a move of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would be saying the same thing to the other good churches in the circle? And that led me to a series of lunches with about 7 or 8 other key churches in that 12-mile circle. And sure enough, every pastor wanted to be involved. And that's when my little idea, God just took it and blew it up, and literally within 3 months, it was up to 200 or 300 churches as I just began to share with different organizations and networks. And within 6 months, it peaked last year at 540. The reason people came together is really simple. It's the verse that you shared at the beginning of your program from Romans 1, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Jew first and also to the Greek. But you combine that with what Paul says in Romans 10, and he says that anyone who will call on that name will be saved. Anyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he goes on and says, but how will they hear if nobody tells them? And that just hit me real hard, that the gospel is so simple, so free, so accessible, and yet the one catch is if people are not given a chance to hear it, how can they possibly respond? So that's the motivation behind it. That's where it came, the dream that, man, the gospel changed my life because somebody came to me on my campus. Somebody approached me and gave me a chance to hear, and it has changed my life. I wish I could just give more people right around here a chance to hear, and then it just spun out of control. The Spirit took it and just spun it under his control, and it blossomed into this massive movement.
That's really great, Bob. Thank you for sharing that. I love your passion for evangelism. And, you know, I've also had the zeal for evangelism ever since the Lord got a hold of me also during my college years. And I just have a hard time understanding why more so-called evangelical Christians don't seem to have that same passion for evangelism.
Yeah, I feel in my talks with my congregants, Their hearts are good, and they want to share, but the two things that are keeping them from sharing their faith, number one, their own personal lives, they feel just very often are not in order enough to be a witness, and they feel like, they might be just a tiny bit hypocritical if they go out and start talking about Jesus when they're struggling with their own marriage or they're struggling with, you know, certain addictions or things, and certain sins, certain habitual sins, and I find a lot of Christians are just stopped because of personal issues.
What would you say to a person like that, Bob?
Well, you know, none of us are perfect. We're all flawed. We're sinners, all in process. You know, certainly if you're living in such a way at the office that you clearly are a hypocrite. I mean, you're going with the guys to the strip club at lunch, and then you get back to the office and you pull out a Bible and start trying to share Jesus with them. I mean, forget about it. If you lack integrity at that level in your life, if you're swearing and cursing and then you expect the guys to listen to your talk about Jesus, you know, that's not going to work. But people are very open to what I'd call ordinary sinners sharing how Christ has changed their lives. And I'm talking about they don't expect you to be perfect. They expect you to be authentic and honest and open. But if there's deep areas of hypocrisy and lack of integrity, it is going to stop your witness, and you got to deal with those areas. But the other reason in our culture is people have this perception that non-believers don't want to hear, that they're not interested, that they're put off by Christians, that, you know, they're just angry at us. And so a lot of Christians are just intimidated into silence. They're just afraid that people don't want to hear. And to some extent that's true, but what I'm finding is when people hear the message of Christ from an authentic Christian, you know, embodied in a real living Christian, like a Tim Tebow or something, you know, or Jeremy Lin, they're listening. They're open. I'm finding people when they walk into our church, they're like, wow, I had no idea it could be like this. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the world is seeing a lot of goofy Christian witnesses, and they are turned off by that. But that doesn't mean that should stop us. They're open, they're interested, and they're hungry, like the woman at the well. You know, she was thirsty. She didn't even know it, but Jesus pressed in on her. And I think we need to assume that people are interested, that if we need to assume that if they did hear and see an authentic presentation of Christ, that they would at least be interested. And I'm finding that to be the case at Oak Point. You know, 15 years ago, we had 60 people. We've got a lot more than that now, and a lot of those people are new Christians because they are interested. They just haven't seen the real thing.
That's great. And, Bob, even if people aren't interested when we first talk to them, I would say we should talk to them anyway because we're planting seeds. The idea of patiently planting seeds to me is very important. You know, not so much expecting immediate results, but being faithful to plant gospel seeds of truth.
Yeah, and I think part of the thing that stops Christians, too, is they feel like they've got to get all the way through to the, you know, the four spiritual law booklet or steps to peace with God, and they've got to get right through some gospel presentation and the whole thing. They don't. You just, that's why we wanted people last year just to share their story, just to wear their two-word story. We wanted just to get Christians out telling their own story of what a difference Christ has made in their lives and see where those discussions go. And you're right. For some people, it might just be a brief discussion, and you might just be getting them from negative 15 to negative 13 on the scale of receptivity. It's not everybody that you're going to get right down to the point of bowing the knee at the foot of the cross and praying a prayer of salvation. That's a rare opportunity, but you could be breaking down barriers. You could be reshaping people's perception of what a real Christian is. You could be showing them, wow, I didn't know Christians could actually answer questions and enter into discussion. It could be a lot of little steps, and I agree with you. We should be ready to participate at all those levels.
Yeah. Each has been giving some good training in personal evangelism, which I think is, you know, wonderful and important, and that's just another good aspect of each, and training people to put their story in, you know, the two-word story, and so they have more confidence to be able to share their story in a concise, intelligent way. I really commend, the Each leadership for training people in some personal evangelism techniques.
Yeah, you know, when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ for, I don't know, 15 years or so, they taught us to share the gospel, the Four Spiritual Law booklet, but they also taught us to share our personal story in 3 minutes. And they made us write it out and be prepared to share it in any circumstance, at a team meeting with a athletics team on the university, in a dorm or in a fraternity or sorority or in a one-on-one conversation on an airplane. And that was a really valuable tool. They taught us to just spend 1 minute talking about what life was like before Christ, and then a minute about how we encountered Christ, and then about a minute describing some of the changes in our lives. And really, the two-word story is just kind of that idea. You think about your own encounter with Christ, and you think about the one word that might characterize your transformation. It might have been over the issue of security or forgiveness or value or hope or certainty, or maybe he rescued you from some addiction. Maybe he healed you, or maybe he made you kosher, you know. I mean, but you pick that word, and then you just tell your story based around that word. And there's probably 30, 40 different words that people came up with to describe their encounter with Christ. Like you take the Samaritan woman, her word probably before meeting Christ would have been satisfied, question mark. And then after she met Christ, she would have said satisfied, period. And she would have told people that she met him thirsty and she went away satisfied. And if you take Nicodemus, you know, the chapter before, he might have said reborn, question mark. And then after he met Christ, he would have said reborn, period. And if he encountered somebody, he would have said, yeah, that's what he taught me. I needed a second birth. So you can see how each person has a different story, and it centers around usually one theme or one word. And that's all we are trying to help believers do, is to define that story and then wear it on a T-shirt or a button or a yard sign or something, and be prepared, like it says in 1 Peter 3, to give an account of the hope that's within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So that's
amen. Bob, again, let's mention the prayer walk. It's this Saturday, April 28th at 9 o'clock at Comerica Park, rain or shine. We want Christians, evangelical Christians from the Metro Detroit area to join us and pray and worship and walk from Comerica all the way downtown to the what's the name of that building?
It's actually the city-county building. It's yeah, where the Spirit of Detroit is, the city
office. The city-county thing. And so and we want to encourage people to encourage their pastors to get the word out still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because last year a lot of people were watching the Each Movement from a distance, but when they came to the prayer walk, it was so inspiring they jumped into the movement. It's inspiring to see 20,000-30,000 believers from all different denominations and churches worshiping and praying together. And this year, most of them are going to be wearing two-word story shirts and stuff, so it's going to be pretty cool.
Well, I'm going to be wearing my kosher two-word story.
I know you will.
And then we have another big event, and we got to talk about this very briefly, coming up in May at Wayne State University. Tell us very briefly, Bob, about that.
May 19th, it's a massive resource fair, bringing over 50 different providers to help people in need. And then from noon till 7 in the evening on a main stage, it's going to be a big festival, culminating in a two-hour program from 5 to 7. Bob Tebow is going to be sharing the gospel. We're hearing a special presentation from Ernie Harwell via video, taken 3 months before his death. Miss America 2008 will be sharing her story. All kinds of great stuff is going to be happening. So it's a huge good deeds, good news day called Loving the D, May 19th on the athletic fields at Wayne State University.
Yeah, that should be tremendous. Bob, thank you so much for being my guest today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. I am very much pleased to be part of each and be benefiting from all the good things that have been happening, getting to know wonderful men of God like you and other, you know, great pastors in the Metro Detroit area, breaking down barriers between Jews and Gentiles, between blacks and whites, between the city and the suburbs. God is really using each in so many ways. And I just want to express my appreciation for being open to the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to inspire you and give you the vision and then to act on that, Bob. So thank you so much.
Thanks for the encouragement. It's good to be with you today.
Thank you, Bob. This is Rabbi Lauren Jacobs. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. Thank you so much. And shalom, shalom from all of us who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We'll be right back.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.